Well, praise God. Well, today I'm going to go into back into our teaching. God hasn't let me off this thing. He just keeps talking to me about some stuff here, and we're going to stay with it on this subject of following the law of faith and dealing with that. We're going to look at an area where, you know, over the years in teaching, I've always found this out. You know, you go into a thing, I'll go to certain things, and God will start to deal with me about certain stuff, I'll go over and reading and studying on this subject. As he got talking to me about it, to me at first it seemed things were sort of all over the place. And I thought, well, how's he going to, what does he want me to bring together to teach on this, teaching in this direction, this thing? What does he want me to do? Because the Holy Spirit would just sort of hit me with a number of different things. And well, a little over a month ago, when I was doing a little studying, and well, in fact, I had been doing some studying because of Wednesday night, but in the middle of it, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, certain things came to me, and I went over to about our teaching on Sunday, and I went over and started going over some things. And one of the books, and we're going to turn to, is the book of James. We're going to look at James, the fifth chapter, because we're looking at the law of faith. One of the things that I found out over time is it's very easy to do, and there's no criticism to anybody about it, because everybody has done it. We have all took things that people said, you know, and taught, and we just, you know, we mimic them. You know, we mimic them and what they say. And, you know, there's people, you know, that are really, you know, good teachers and ministers and stuff, and they say things sometimes, and we just go along, but we don't realize they may not have studied at it like did, or they just copy what somebody else said. And I found that to be very much true especially when I got over, the Holy Spirit started dealing with me and teaching on the end times, and there's things that I found out what people didn't read the Bible at all about this. They were just running around. They were writing books that were nothing but copies of what other people said. But when you went to the Bible, it wasn't there. They said, well, Scripture says this. And I started looking for these Scriptures and never could find them. I said, the Bible says this, it says that. And, you know, everybody's done it. We're not saying to criticize anybody. People don't do that. I don't believe these people intentionally want to mislead anybody. There's people out here that do want to intentionally mislead, but I don't think generally these people do. They want to do what's right. The devil has people out here that, he has his ministers. And, you know, nobody would ever believe a complete lie. There's always usually a segment of truth, or you just wouldn't fall for it. And so the devil will do that. But I don't believe people are doing that. But we're in an area over here in teaching. And I've had this over the years. You know, you have your opinions, your ideas, or your say about things. And I've had this happen to me a number of occasions of reading things and Scriptures. God start to deal with me in it to go look at it. When I went and looked at it, I found out, well, it isn't all what they said or people have talked about with this. It's not all. It's not all like I thought. You know, is we need to understand this, how much you need the Holy Spirit. There's one thing, as I've learned over the years, there's one thing as in teaching, my whole intent is to teach what the Holy Spirit's leading into. So anyhow, there's in the fifth chapter of the book of James, a very familiar area of Scripture there. I use the illustration and numbers at times on the things because we get on the idea that certain things are certain ways. And like I used to use the term and that stuff, which I hear people and over the years have used a lot. They talk people who don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and healing and stuff, and they call them fundamentalists. And I would go along and I use that term. But you know what? I didn't listen to my, you know, and you gotta learn to listen to your spirit. The Bible says Jesus didn't say anything the Father didn't say. In other words, he listened to his spirit. He listened on the inside. And I would use that term, and I never paid much attention to you, just would use it. And I used it a couple times, and somehow inside of me, it was like, something wasn't right about saying that. And I just, you know, I didn't know why. So, you know, you just keep using the term. And one day, the Spirit of the Lord said to me, why do you call them fundamentalists? Well, that there stopped me right in my tracks. He said, why do you? Well, why do we say what we say? What do we mean by it? You know, people use this term we used to do in the church, where people say God's love is unconditional. What do you mean by that when you say that? Because you can't throw that. That's not a blank. You cannot use that as a blanket statement. But they do. I'll tell 75% of, probably more than that, preachers say that often. Yet, it's misleading. There's a truth to it, but it definitely ain't the whole truth about it. Because their idea of unconditional, there's no condition to God's heaven. I can understand why all these people are believing everybody's going to heaven. Well, why not? It's unconditional. There's no conditions. God loves me, and I know that. But I tell you what, I don't meet His conditions. What are His conditions? Because there are conditions. God is not an unconditional God. There's conditions. I look in the Word. There's things that I must do to receive the blessings of God. I mean, when somebody throws terms out there, be careful in throwing those things out, because they become religious terms that are very dangerous to use in our day and time, because they're exploited by the devil. They're exploited, and those lies people believe, and it's not good. I know that things are, we need to be careful in those areas. But anyhow, so I said to the Lord, well, what do you mean by that? He said, they're not fundamentalists. He said, you are. He said, you believe the fundamentals of the Word. They don't. And I'm like, huh? But you throw a term out there. I thought, God ain't agreeing with what I'm saying. I'm talking about something. So we need to learn to be careful on what we use. But anyhow, so I got over here and I was reading through in scriptures. And it was reading a segment in James. God has led me. I like James. James, the Holy Spirit uses James to speak to me on things. He uses James it speaks right down my alley, you know, and James and over the time. And I was over here in an area concerning, because James has helped me in this area where the Holy Spirit has used James to help me a lot with faith and standing and walking and acting in faith. It helped me a lot. Helped me a lot in my Christian walk. And I was reading through this segment where it's very familiar. And the part where it reads, heading toward the end of the chapter there, in verse 15 and 17, was talking about Elijah praying. And this is where the Holy Spirit first got a hold of me in this thing, and then took me into some things to start to speak to me. But anyhow, if we read that scripture there in James, the fifth chapter, and we look at that verse there on 17, and verse 17 says this, Elijah was a man with nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly, and it would not rain, and it did not rain. It says rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. It says, then it goes on in verse 18, it says, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced fruit. And so I was reading that, the Lord's having, and I just kept getting the sense, go read this over again. And so I would read it over again, and I was reading it over again, and I read it over and over. I just kept reading this over, and all of a sudden, it wasn't a voice said anything to me, but somehow then, I was reading that, and he said, that ain't right. And I thought, what ain't right? And I was reading over this thing, and I knew he's talking about the translation's not right. A translation's not right. Well, I'm not a Greek scholar. I just sort of take people say, you know. So what I did is I went over and looked at all these different translation things, and they're all basically hit along the same. Kept coming to me. It's not right. It's not right. See, one thing is, I did learn this over time, and finally I stopped, and one of the things that grabbed me was this part. The Holy Spirit kept bringing this to me, and I couldn't get away with it. It said, he prayed earnestly that it did. He said, he prayed earnestly. And then the Holy Spirit brought this up to me. He said, how earnest was he? He said, how earnest do you have to be to get your prayers answered? See, he started questioning me about this, and I thought, yeah. He said, well, there's got to... He said, earnest. He said, earnest. You could be earnest different measures. He said, what's the measure you need to get your prayers answered? Well, I started thinking about that. Well, how earnest you got to get? I mean, are you earnest? Maybe the reason my prayer didn't get answered, I wasn't earnest enough. Well, how earnest do I get? So I went from that to like, wow. He's like threw this thing in my face, and I'm like, yeah, how earnest do I have to go to get my prayers answered? Well, the next thing I went to was this, was it just came up in me. It was like, go look at the definition of the word. That ain't even close to the definition of the word, earnest. That's only translated one time in Scripture, the word earnest. It's a word for prayer. And I looked at this thing. I went through all the Scriptures in the New Testament on it. Earnest ain't even around. This is the only time earnest is here. All the rest of the time, it's translated prayer, you know, and a different thing. There's two words, and there's two words used here. There are two different words that are used here in this scripture. It says he prayed a prayer. He said he prayed earnestly. In literally, it says he prayed a prayer. Can you pray a prayer? You see, one of the things it is, and I found this out, and I should have known. There's one thing as I've looked at, especially you go over into different, like say concordances and stuff, and you look words up. Strong's has this. They have a tendency in Strong's. Now I'm telling you I still like Strong. I'm not throwing Strong's in. Thank God for Strong's concordance. I appreciate it. But they have this tendency that when they put down a translation of the word, they will always add the word that was used in the King James or something thereof. Even if it is, because they translate it, they'll throw it in as one of the translations. And I found out numerous times of studying the word that it didn't mean that. Because see, what I did is then I went over and thought, well, if this word is earnest, then we will find it. I can go over into the Greek language, into the everyday Greek language and the use of this term. Look it up. How did the Greeks use this? They never used earnest. Never used the word earnest. He didn't. You know, remember that guy Ernest in the old movies? And it's of Ernest. Yeah, that's right. Say, when you pray, you got to be like Ernest. So I went through that. I sat down. He said, he prayed a prayer. And then he asked me, he says, you pray a prayer? You see, we don't get our prayers answered by earnest or whatever else or whatever. We get our prayers answered by faith. And the Bible tells us exactly how to have that. And that's what the Holy Spirit wanted me to get a hold of me this fact. The Bible tells you how to have faith. See, everything that if God tells you to do something, you have to have a way of measuring it to be able to do it. How am I supposed to do this if you don't? And we have this tendency within Christianity to maybe sometimes overemphasize certain things and points like being, you know, like the Bible says, be diligent. Well, be diligent, you know. Like some people, you know, they'll measure you out as how diligent are you going to be. Well, you know, when we're walking in faith of things, if you're walking and really believe something, diligence is normally what you'll have. You believe it. You're acting on it. That's just the way you'll go. It's sort of a common thing. I always think about this when Jesus spoke to Kenneth Hagin about teaching. He said, if somebody teaches something and it's sort of hard to get all of the, he said, I didn't teach it to him. See, this was a very simple thing because number one, when almost everybody, and I'm just going to put it down straight, even Kenneth Hagin, whenever he used these scriptures, they pulled them out of context. See, the Holy Spirit took me over to he said to me, what's the context of what this prayer thing's about? Well, when he said that, I realized let's go back and read the whole thing. What's he talking about here? What is he discussing? What's he saying about? So I backed up. I said, okay, well, I need to learn something here. So, and the Holy Ghost is teaching. It's one thing. It's another thing out of Great Piece of Wisdom by Kenneth Hagin. He said this one time. He said, if the Holy Spirit shows you what the meaning of it is, he said, that's what it is. He said, don't worry about somebody else. So I'm going on, just listen to the Holy Ghost. What is this thing? What's he doing? So he took me back to verse 14. This is what starts his whole thing off. This whole thing is about what he's talking about here in its context. And so he says this. In verse 14 he starts out, he said, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, let them pray over him. Now this is talking about prayer, isn't it? This is prayer. Prayer what? Prayer. What does he say to do? Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. We're supposed to pray. So this is the subject. We're talking about prayer. So what is he going to say about prayer? He said, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, or we would say the prayer of faith will heal the sick, because that word save there is the same word that is translated here is to heal. So it's going to heal, because Jesus, many times when he healed, the same word sozo was used when Jesus would heal. He's what he's talking about. Is he going to save the sick? Well, he's going to let him die and go to heaven. I guess that's what he's going to do. He's going to heal the sick. And see, this is one of the things you need to understand in translation. Why did the translators go and translate this? Why didn't they translate that back over there when Jesus was healing people and called it save? Because people have this tendency, we all do, we have the tendency to interpret things according to our doctrinal beliefs, whether right or wrong. We interpret. Look, you interpret by what you know. You can't interpret by what you don't know. See, when I read these scriptures, I always interpret them in the mind of what I knew. Till God tried to show me, you don't know enough. And so, but then when he started to show me, now I have a different understanding. So what this is talking about prayer, it's talking about what? He said, the prayer of faith will heal the sick. The Lord will raise him up. If he's committed any sin, he will be forgiven. What is this talking about? The prayer of faith. It's the prayer of faith. This is what he's talking about here. We read this subject. He's talking about the prayer of faith. Well, what does the Bible tell us about faith? Praying by faith. Well, we went over to Mark 11, 23 and 24. We went through those. And the principle, another foundation, the law of faith is believing something in your heart and not doubting. See, God, he tells you, you believe it in your heart, you don't doubt it. Okay? So now we know what the measuring stick is. We know what it is. Now, he said, if you believe in your heart and you don't say it, then you say it with your mouth, it will come to pass. That's the law of prayer. That is the law of prayer. That's it. Then he says, when you pray. Now, if you're going to pray, he said, when you pray, whatever you ask for or whatever you're asking, requiring or desiring, that's what his word means, whatever that, those things that you ask, desire, require, he said, you believe you receive them, what, at the time that you're praying, and you will have them. See, that's what here. You know, many times I watch this. Very seldom do I ever hear people lay their hands on the sick and pray the prayer of faith. They'll go, oh God, you know, heal, They don't pray, hey, praise God. We believe the healing power of God went in them. They're healed now in the name of Jesus. Amen. We just believe we received their healing. They don't pray the prayer of faith. Anybody ain't going to do it, it's going to be the Word people. They're not going to pray the prayer of faith. It says a prayer of faith. Prayer of faith is we believe we receive it right now. Amen. This is what it's misleading to the person you're praying for. If you're going to pray the prayer of faith, you act like they got something. Hallelujah. Amen. And it inspires them to believe that they're getting something. They got something. That's the prayer. If you didn't pray it, you didn't pray the prayer of faith. See, you believe you're receiving. See, people leave and they're waiting for something. They're waiting for something. I didn't get it yet. When I'll get it, I'll know when I get it. When my leg feels better, my foot feels better. I know then I got it, you know, then I have it. And so they're not praying the prayer of faith. They lots of times don't even explain it to a person. Lots of times I explain it to people what we're going to do. I'm going to pray for you. This is what we're going to read right now. We're going to receive it right now. That's what prayer of faith is. See, if you got something else, it ain't going to work. But the elders ought to be praying a prayer of faith. You pray for people, pray the prayer of faith. Lay hands on them in the name of Jesus and pray a prayer of faith. That's what we do. So, they're praying, and this is what this is about. So the prayer of faith for us is a measurable thing. We can know whether we're in it or not. We're not doing it, you know. He didn't say, pray the prayer of earnest. Did he? Pray the prayer. Pray a real earnest prayer and the person, you know, get healed. If it's real earnest. We just pray the prayer of faith. That's what we do. We pray the prayer of faith. It's that simple. See, this is why we need to know, because when things are added in, it'll always leave you to a question if you don't seem to, because that devil will come along and give you the idea this thing ain't working. And you're going to think, well, maybe I wasn't earnest enough. Maybe I wasn't diligent. Maybe I wasn't this and maybe I was, no. This tells us, the prayer of faith tells us our guidelines, what we have to do. It tells us what we have. Now, Jesus did talk about this. One of the things he said, Mark 11, 25, he said, if you have something against your brother, go get it corrected. In other words, there's things that can hinder your prayer from being, but earnest ain't one of them. We understand this, and this is why I keep it on the simple side of things. This is what the Holy Spirit showed me. People added things to things, making people believe there was something else to it. No, don't add to it. You don't need to add to it. The prayer of faith will work. If you believe it in your heart and don't doubt, that's what God wants you to do. That's it. You're right where you want to. That's where you right need to believe. You don't have to add to or take away from. You're doing exactly what the word says. Without faith, you can't please God. He didn't say without being earnest, you can't please God. See, we want to keep this, the one thing is to emphasize, the Holy Spirit kept saying, keep it simple. Keep this over to the simple. Your faith, you can, like he's there, help it. They can do this. See, the people can do this. They can do that. The Bible tells you what, they can do that. See, when they turned it over, and so they added something to it here, by translators added to this thing to make seem there was faith in something else. No, it wasn't. It was just faith, just like you can have. Just like you can have. When the Holy Spirit said to me, well, how earnest do you have to be? He said, you're going to have to be able to measure how earnest. We didn't. He said, the scripture don't say how earnest he was. We don't know how earnest he was. We just know he prayed. That's what we know. And you can too. You can too. Hallelujah. And he, that's what really is the emphasis he wants. It's the prayer of faith. He goes on to say this, in which I was really shocked, because once he got me to this point, then he wanted to show me some other things about this is what's said, because there's more added. Man added. Men added, and people, and you know, what I was shocked is all the translations that I read. Now there's some that did correct it, but most everybody just followed along what everybody else said. They just threw it in there. Because I was really shocked concerning words that were used, because now, it goes on here to this, it says, confess your trespasses one to another, and pray for one another that you might be healed. And he says, Now, and this is the New King James, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So I got over, well, what's this? The effective fervent prayer of a righteous. What's an effective prayer? What's effective? Prayer of faith. He said the effective fervent prayer. You know, it don't say that. These words that they used there came from one Greek word, and it's a Greek power word. It's one of the Greek power words. And that word is used, this is the idea of it, it's power that works something. It's working, it's a working power. A working power. That's what it is. It's a working power. I don't know why they threw all this other stuff in here when it didn't say it, because it really, it took prayer to an emotional place. It took prayer to emotional. You have to have these certain feelings. You gotta, well, how do I know I got this? How do I know I'm fervent enough? How do I know? What do I know about this thing that I'm really, you know, over at this spot? I was really amazed to really look at it. Its idea is this. It should have read, it's a very strong is the working prayer of a righteous man. Very strong. It isn't trying to tell you to do something to make it strong. It says, the righteous guy, the guy who's righteous, what's righteousness by? Faith. The righteous guy. How many of you here are righteous? Righteous by faith. Our prayers are, they work, they're strong, they work. I thought, why didn't they just say that? Why don't they just say that? You know, there's sometimes, look, in the translations of words, sometimes a word cannot be explained with just one other word. It can't, you have to give it. You know, they went too far in explanation. They went too far. Because in the same way, this word there, they don't take it and translate it like this in all other places. They don't do it. They don't take it and translate. And in fact, I really liked it in the literal translation. It says this, be confessing to one another the trespasses and be praying for one another. He said that you may be healed. Very strong is a working supplication of a righteous man. That's literal Greek. That's what literally it says. That didn't need amplified. I thought that was just downright good the way it said. Hallelujah. Number one, the Holy Spirit kept prompting me this. This puts this in the area that a Christian can do it. That a Christian can do this. You don't have to add something to it. Your prayer can be just as effective. We don't have to be a special person. The whole point of this is the using of Elijah then is this. He turned around and he put it over in his hair. He goes, Elijah was a man of a nature like ours. In other words, he's trying to show, they destroyed that. When he said he was like ours, then he said, no, he was earnest. He wasn't like ours. He was probably maybe more earnest than us. He didn't have the same nature like you. He was more earnest. See, they threw that in there. They should have never thrown that in there when they put that earnest in. It says, he said, Elijah was a man the same like nature. He prayed a prayer. Just like praying prayers for the sick. You can pray the prayer for the sick. At the same time. Well, see, no. This guy can pray for rain and shut it and turn it off. You can't. He's earnest. I get overlooking this thing, and I thought, oh, how does the Holy Spirit put up with us? And in the church world, we just do things. But bringing it down to simple, bringing it down to the place, he prayed a prayer that wouldn't rain. Just like he said, you pray for that sick. You pray the prayer of faith for the sick, it'll work there. You can pray that kind of prayer. He prayed for the rain to stop and to stop, and he prayed for the rain to start and start. Let me ask you, you think you can do that? If you can't, you we're missing the whole thing of all this stuff. We're missing this whole thing. No, we put these guys in a class. The church did this. Even the word people have done it. Put people in classes that they're not. God answers my prayer life. No man. Men don't set the standard for it. See, when you let men and who they are and who you think they are and their greatness, you're always limiting yourself. Always limiting yourself. And that's what we've done. We limit ourselves. It's one thing as Brother Hagin would say, you know, he'd say, you know, you ought to go further than I do. Well, then number one, I realized this when he said that. There's stuff he don't know. That if we're going to go, you can't go further if you ain't going to know more.
Amen. Preach.
No, we went, put, let's take, I hear these people all the time. Well, Apostle Paul, like, you know, boy, well, you think you know more than Paul? Paul knows. Well, I hope somebody knows more than Paul. And we've only ever got as far as Paul. Holy Spirit told everything God knows to Paul, and that's it. See, we've made our little statues to people, and we made our Christian lives around. Thank God where people brought us to, but we can be taught beyond. The Holy Spirit surely probably hasn't given even 0.1% of the revelation of God to us. We're walking around with such a small part, but people act like this is the whole thing. No. We're living in an age and time to understand some things that God wants to do. And we need to break out of the religious ideas and the religious thinking. You know, this is what I find. Kenneth Hagin, he always taught one thing, and I found it true over time. I remember when I was a young Christian, I thought sort of might be a little bit strange. He said, ministry-wise, he said, I would spend more time trying to minister the younger, because he said, lots of times if people get older, they won't change. He said, you can try to teach them things, they won't change. And I thought for him for a second, and I thought that sort of seems strange to a God had me as a young Christian and put me in a class of teaching older Christians. And I found out, oh my God, if people didn't want to change, they didn't want to change. They knew everything, couldn't do a thing. God wouldn't. They couldn't have believed God for a glass of water. I mean, they'd have died of thirst. I mean, but they thought, oh, boy, we understand. And you tried to teach it. And they said, boy, they just, oh, man, it was like pulling teeth. I mean, they were just, and I thought, man, he knows what he's talking about. So then we turned around, and Wanda and I ended up in the same church in the youth ministry. We get them kids to believe all like that, man, on stuff. And they just get on to it and get after it. I mean, it was the craziest thing. And I thought, they're right. I thought, man, this teaching the youth is a whole lot better than teaching the adults. Oh, it's easy to get kids. But one thing is, I set myself, I thought, I'm going to be teachable. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to set myself. I'm not going to get old like that. I said, I am not going to do that. Amen. I'm never going to consider that I've arrived at anything.
Amen.
I don't care how much that God has shown me. One thing is, I learned just the revelations he gave me in part. And I found out later on that same revelation, he gave me more revelation there. And I thought, my God, I thought I knew what he was talking about. And just that opened up. When we arrive and just think we know it all, one of the things you need to do this, if you want more, walk in the light you got. Maybe you only have a part revelation on a thing, but walk in that part, whatever it is. And I tell you, if you need more part, you'll get it. He'll give it to you. He'll give you that part.
Amen.
What I want you to get a hold of, and by the Holy Spirit today, this main thing I want you to get a hold of this in this area of this teaching, because I want you to be able, you read these scriptures, this is talking to you. You can make this work. Remember James back there, he talked about James. We go back up in James and he talked about asking for wisdom. He said, don't let the guy that don't ask by faith, don't let him think he's going to get anything from God. Well, he didn't say, if they weren't earnest, don't think you're going to get anything from God. You see, people turn, we add things to things, and we need to measure it against. Number one, the law of faith is a law of faith, and it's unchangeable. And anybody adds something to it, they're trying to change that law. Don't allow them to do that to you. Because you want your faith, God wants your faith where He wants you to stand. You know where you're standing and you stand. You believed it in your heart and you said it. You believed it so and that's it. Somebody say, well, maybe you ain't interested. Don't go to that place. Maybe you're not fervent enough. How fervent do we got to get to believe my heart? No doubt. Well, how far do I have to go? I don't know how to get further than that. I don't know how to do it. Well, maybe if you just get a little tear in your eye. Maybe we'll get a little sobbing here or not. That'll help, you know. I had a minister one time. It was a minister. I ministered in Fiji a number of times in that Bible college. And we had a minister who came here to the United States. And he came here, a guy. He had sat in some of my classes that I taught on faith and things. But he never got none of it. Nice man. Very nice man. Liked him. But he never got none of it. He had his way of believing. Well, he came here to the United States and he had a heart problem. They took him to the hospital and so I went in the hospital to visit him, went in to pray for him. And, he said to me, his wife wasn't with him. His wife's still in Fiji. He's here. And, he said to me, I like it when my wife prays for me because she gets tears in her eyes. That's what he said to me. I said, yeah, I said, it's really worked and helped you a lot. I said, you've had this heart condition for years. This is really a little crying really makes it work, don't it? And he just looked at me just so dumb. I'm just so dumb. He just looked at me. I said, this is really working, ain't it? but don't think, I've heard dumber stuff than that. I can tell you, we can stand here all day and I'll tell you stuff of really stupid. People do it. People, so-called faith people do and that kind of stuff. It don't make a bit of sense. But he thought, well, he liked the fact that there was an emotional involvement in it and that stuff. I don't care. You believe God together with me. I don't care if you ain't got emotion at all. It don't matter to me. Let's get the job done. People are driven toward the emotion side of it. The people are driven to the feeling side of it. I mean, if we would take it, I mean, the Amplified Bible really sort of carried over. Now, I didn't talk to anybody. I use these scriptures. I would use these scriptures when I do it. I'd use them. I found out they weren't right, but I can't throw rocks at anybody else. I used them, you know. And like the Amplified Bible in that subject, it's in verse 16, Amplified says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Now, they understood that power point. They put that in there. But they threw all that in the front end, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man. Oh, so you just got to keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. It's got to be heartfelt. I didn't feel a thing and I had a heart attack and I was delivered, healed and did not feel any kind of emotional experience in my healing or nothing. I didn't feel like I was, I just believed God's word and got up off the ground. Amen. See, it was the prayer of faith. It's a prayer of faith. See, this is one of the most phenomenal things is I believe God made it so easy and it's gotten so complicated and out of hand with people. And it's so simple. It's so simple. Now, look, I'm not knocking these translators, but they were right when they said tremendous available. He says dynamic and it's working. And that's what it's a working power. This is your faith. The prayer of faith is a working power. When you pray the prayer of faith, you set the power of God to work. That's what it's about. The prayer of faith, it sets the power of God to work. When you prayed and you believed in your heart and you prayed, you literally set the power of God. That's what that ergo says. You set power to work. It's a working power. It's not a dead power. It's not explode. It didn't use the word dynamis. It used this word. It puts the word of God's going to work. And the power of the word is going to work. That's what you did when you believed what the word said. You confessed it with your mouth. You just set it in motion. When you pray, get this in your mind. When you released your faith by what you say, you just put the power of God to work. That's what you just, you don't have to be earnest. You don't have to be earnest. God's the one in it doing that. God does that part. You just put it to work. You did that by believing, not doubting, and saying it, and now the power of God just went to work. That's why Jesus said, you'll have it. Why? The power of God is now bringing it to pass for you. That's what it is. That's how Jesus, he didn't add earnest or anything like that. You don't need it. God brings it to pass. You don't try to bring them emotionally, try to do something to bring that to pass. You don't do that. That's not your job. When you believed and didn't in doubt, God's power just went to work for you. That's where you walk away and say, pray. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin concerning this. He said, when you do that, he said, just keep saying, it's a working. Amen. Now, you know, that there came a revelation to me. He said, that's what he was talking about. Hey, it's working. It's a working. And he's right. The power of God was released by you to go to work. That's what it did. You have done it. Hallelujah. If that's earnest, I'll take it. Amen. Hallelujah. If that's fervent, I'll take it. Hallelujah. See, keep it simple. Keep it downright. You put the power of God to work. See, Smith Wigglesworth said, if God don't move, I'll move him. Well, now, what did he mean by that? See, he ain't pushing God to do something. What does he do? He's going to do something by faith that's going to put God's power to work. Amen. He's going to do something by faith that's going to put God's power to work. He ain't talking about God doing so he's going to make God do something. He make God, you ain't going to ever make God do something. He wants to do stuff and we ain't have enough sense to put him work on it. We were trying to be fervent. We were trying to be earnest. We were trying to said, hey, put it to work. So get that in yourself when you pray. This is why, you know, if you take, now they go, like say, if we looked at Elijah on the mountain, this is why Elijah up there, he would not let alone. He put God's power to work. He kept telling the guy, go back and look. There's got to be rain coming. There has to be rain coming. I put God's power to work. It's got to be working. It's got to be working. He ain't letting it alone. It's got to be working. See, we think he's just trying to talk God into it. Well, if he was, where did he reach the point and it worked? So if I pray 7 times, then it'll, where do we bet? Maybe I have to pray 14. Or maybe 21. Let's triple that. How many times do we have to do it? What do we have to do? You see, everybody got caught on those things. And you know what? Jesus established the simple law of faith, and it is so easy. It is so simple and not complex. Now look, if the Holy Ghost hadn't shown me this, I wouldn't have known it. I'd have still been using the scriptures. I'd have still been doing it. We're not trying to belittle anybody or whatever, but I just thank God to teach it. There's one thing is I have noticed that God is doing is bringing things back to simplicity again. The things among the church world, the whole church, not just, we pick out certain groups, we've gotten over into religious things. And coming back to simplicity. God keeps reminding me how simple it was when I came into the kingdom, how we would just do stuff. How we just believed God. We just loved God. We didn't care about nothing else. We just knew anything. I'll tell you what. If the chair leg got bent, we'd pray for God to straighten it. You know, we'd just do anything under the sun. It's amazing what God did. But we were just simple. There was nothing complicated. We weren't trying to be anything. It was just, man, God will do something. But our faith was in God. What He'd do. Hallelujah. It wasn't how earnest David could be. It was how big God was. Amen. Now we're singing, how great is our God. How great is our God. And that's what He wants. You put His power. His power's working. Think about that. The next time you make a confession of faith, get it in you. You just set the power of God to work for you. You just set, it's working for you. Say, well, I don't feel it. You don't have to feel it.
Amen.
You have to believe it. That's what you have to do. You've got to believe it. You've got to believe it's working. See, that's what will change you. See, when I read this thing and the Holy Spirit started to teach me, I thought, my words, we really got off on these things here in an area that God tried to bring a simple thing out of prayer and praying the prayer of faith for the sick and saying, hey, you can get the sick healed just like Elijah prayed for rain and prayed to not rain and then rain. Hey, it's just as easy. He's a God just like you, except He's more earnest than you. And He was very fervent. Which you ain't got, so. You can't do that. Only Elijah can. He was a prophet. And you know what Jesus said about all the prophets? He said John was the greatest prophet ever, speaking of John the Baptist. He said the least in the kingdom is greater than him. I'm greater than, my anointing is greater than Elijah's.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Right. Did Jesus lie about that? The church thinks he did. We put these guys in a category God never, and they would have never put themselves in such a spot. But we did. We loved to make statues and memorials and things that we could sort of get around, hallelujah, to honor things. And there's nothing the matter with honoring people that do good and all that kind of stuff. Today I think we go a little bit more crazy over it. I'm a person, if I do something, I'm one that just, don't blow no trumpets or nothing. It was just, this is one thing. I didn't do no good when I was a sinner. I was a good sinner. I mean, I could sin. I knew how to sin. I'll tell you what. I could teach you how to, you never sinned enough, I'll teach you how to sin more. I was doing that. When I got born again, my life changed. I knew it was God.
Hallelujah.
I can't take credit. I didn't change. If it's good, it came from God. Anything good comes up. It's because God made good, and you just got to keep it like that. You know, and people do all this stuff and do all these things. I mean, I'm not against people doing it. That's myself personally. I mean, I can't be like being in the military and stuff and people blowing the horn, you know, and all that stuff. And, you know, I've had the hat since my daughter bought me a hat, a veteran's hat. I wore it once and it's like, hey, there's millions of others, you know, around town. So what, as a veteran, that don't mean nothing, you know. Nobody has to ever pat me on the back for that. I got to live in this country, man. You know, I could have been born, you know, in India, but I was born here. Nobody owes me nothing about this country. They don't owe me an education because I was in the military. They don't owe paying college for me. We're trying to buy people. How's that worked? How's that worked with our military? Trying to buy allegiance? It don't work. Loyalty ain't tied to money.
Amen.
If your loyalty is tied to money, you ain't got much loyalty. It only goes as far as the dollar goes. I went because, you know, my parents put in us about, you know, you did things and you did things because they were the right thing to do. And that was just the right thing to do. I went in the military. And that was right. And nobody has come up and said, well, thank you for your service. And what do? Run around and say thanking people for not doing their service. I don't know. But I don't need somebody blowing the horn at me and that stuff. What's great is God. The revelation, we don't have to add to it. God's great. God is great. God, how great is our God? Our God is great. His word stands. If anybody needs to be cheered, it's Him. The God of heaven laid out a foundational principle that operates in the realm of the Spirit. It's how His kingdom, and it operates. We operate it, but it's not operated in the natural. We operate it from our heart, our spirit. It's a spiritual principle that changes things in the earth. And the great loss that we've had in this is because we're too tied to the natural to make it work. We have to have a feeling with it. We have to have some kind of an emotion with it. We have to, you know, a heartfelt. I'm sorry, I don't know what that means. Because I tell you, you know, sometimes my spirit, God, the power of God will come on me and I feel something. But you know, it's like Kenneth Hagin said this, and I found out this to be true. He said the greatest miracles I've ever had in my ministry. He said this. He said, I had no anointing on me at all. The greatest miracles I've ever seen in my ministry. I've had no sense or feeling of anointing. The greatest one that ever happened to me, I had no sense. I prayed for a guy. He had a metal rod in his back disappearing. If you would have asked me about that, the power of God, I felt nothing. I mean, I'm going to tell you what. I prayed the prayer of faith over that man, and I did not feel a thing. And I didn't have any emotional words. I'm sorry, there was no fervency, and I didn't have it. Ernest wasn't even around. He was gone. I had none of it. I just prayed. Hey, I just know what the Word says. I believe what it says, and I just said what it says. I believe it.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Now I know this, it's the guy, he was, didn't know nothing about faith and none of that kind of, he didn't know anything. And I prayed for him, and I didn't feel a thing. But you know what? I set something in motion and God, now I never healed the guy, but the power of God went to work because it set in motion. And God did that. You know, the guy calls me, I prayed for him on a Sunday morning, he calls me at 2 o'clock in the afternoon to tell me he could bend, he's a poor, he was never able to bend over, and he said he dropped something, and he said, I didn't realize it till I had bent over and picked this thing up, and he said, I couldn't do that before. He said, I didn't realize I did it. And he said, I could move all around. He went back to the doctor. He was, well, first of all, he had vertebrae in his back. They call them welding. I don't know what they do. I don't know if they get a welder out or what they do. This Elmer's glue. I don't know. Whatever they do. And then he said, and there was, and he never had said about there's a rod in his back. He just said, oh, I can move and bend over. See, he said, I had this. Well, he didn't tell me there's a rod in his back. He tells me later after he sees the doctor after some days and says, I had a metal rod in my back and it's not there anymore. And you know what? I didn't have none of it. I just prayed the prayer of faith. That's all. I prayed the prayer of faith. That's all I did. But see, I set God's power. God's power made it happen. I didn't. Amen. I didn't make that happen. Oh, if I could make that happen, I'd do it to everybody. Well, could if you could make that happen, you could do it to everybody, couldn't you? You don't. We set powers. People sometimes receive it or ones don't. I know this many times praying for people. Even when the anointing is on me, especially you can tell when the anointing is on you. I can tell whether people receive it or not. I can tell. You can pray for people. I don't care how anointed you are. They don't receive it. I know many times people ain't got nothing. They didn't get it. They come and pray for me. And you do it. But they don't receive it. You can't make them. You know, hey, I ain't God. I just can only do the part that He says. That I do the part that He says that puts His power to work. And His power will go to work. He told me to tell people this. He said, you tell people when you pray for them that my power is always available right there, right at that time. No matter how I feel, I don't need a special anointing. I don't, He's always, His God is always present. His power is always present. His power is always present. He said, you tell people, you lay hands on them. He said, my power will go into them and bring a healing and a cure. You tell them it's there. See, they got to receive it. Don't matter how much a person, you know, it, unless God can do it. Sometimes God initiates things himself. But that's not the general thing he does. That's not generally. People have to receive something. And especially when you're taught in the area. I know this. I can get a person who knows nothing about healing or anything like that, whether sinner or saint. I can usually the first time get them healed. First time. I can do that. I'll do it. Why? God will operate on my faith. You won't continually do that.
Mm-hmm.
You won't continually get that. You're only going to continually work. You can't continually do it. You can't even continually do it for family members. You won't be able to continually do it for your kids. You can't continually do it for your kids. Mm-hmm. When they reach up an age to learn, they need to start to operate it. It's like the Lord told me about my daughter was 10 years old. And told me, concerning thing that happened, told me to pray. He said, don't you pray for her. He said, she knows how to believe God. You tell her. He said, you agree with her, but she needs to pray. She needs to know how to do it. See, people say, they wonder why things don't work. Why? Because we keep our children all their lives.
Amen.
Always trying to be mommy and daddy and what it does to try to be God all the time, taking care of stuff. We don't allow our kids to develop in the areas of faith. See, we taught our children about faith from the time that they were just little. Soon as, you know, we didn't wait like my daughter. We didn't wait till they got to be, you know, 15 and then, well, you know, now we're going to start. Well, you done wasted those years. You probably ain't going to have a hard time getting any places.
Amen. Preach.
You're going to have a hard time. I'm just saying, look, I'm talking about experience. I know. And I'll be around people and what happens. You got to expect things out of your children. They aren't dumb. I'll never forget, you know, our kids, I mean, they're just little girls. And they wanted this Barbie stuff. And these were the days we just got saved. And I'm going to tell you, that was expensive to us. You know, we're just trying to pay bills, you know. And, you know, I knew God wanted to bless my kids. And we sat down and told them. And we said, well, you know, we're going to get there. But, you know, you go to the store. That stuff wasn't cheap. And all these, you know, 4 million different little dresses and all this kind of stuff. And the Barbie house car and you name it. And all this kind of things. And we had all this stuff. And they really liked it, enjoyed it. And I thought, you know, God wouldn't have. And we just said, I'll never forget, Wanda and I set them down together and talked about it. And we just flat out told them, if you want these things, we're going to have to believe God. You're going to have to believe God. You're going to have, if you want them, they're just little kids. And I say, you know, see, we act like they're, we're just so smart. They don't understand. Already you're stupid. When you thought that thought, you're already stupid. Amen. You probably won't get most of your prayers ever answered. Because you think it's about you. No, it's about God. This thing's about God.
Amen.
And kids can grab a hold of it. I'll never forget them. They prayed and they prayed. We didn't just do the prayer. They prayed.
Amen.
I asked God about these Barbie. They wanted some Barbie things. They wanted these things. Because I'll tell you what. Wanda and I had the $20 faith at that time. You don't get much Barbie for $20. Today you can't even go to the movie. And so they did. So we went on and left that thing alone, and we didn't. And what is Wanda had a cousin who's a doctor, he's a dentist, and he was in the military, and his girls and that stuff, and they bought them everything under the sun. And they said, one day we get this box in the mail. I mean, they delivered us this box, this huge big box, this big thing comes in the mail. We opened this thing up. And they never told us about this thing was going to be sent. They sent it to our girls. Now, we told nobody. We never told other people about what we were. Because, you know, I never wanted to taint what we were doing. See, too many people taint. When they come along and run and tell everybody, they taint it. And they never really know if it was God or their mouth. Tell everybody else. And so this big box, we opened that thing up. And there was everything in the Barbie in the world that they had at that time. You would not, there must have been like 20 Barbie dolls in there. And just outfits galore. The house, the car, the this and the that and all this stuff. Everything in that packed in that box. God didn't send a little, He sent a biggie. Must have been their faith. I don't know. Everything under the sun. Pulled all this stuff out. They got it all. And it was all beautiful. You know, it's all was so taken care of. And it was all beautiful. They got the whole thing. But you know what? There's one thing. They knew that God loved them and God cared for them. And as kids, they would come to us to believe God for certain things or stuff. They learned to do that. So you don't get your kid everything just because you teach your children how to walk with faith. You teach them. See, we like playing Santa Claus. You send me the list and I'll just get it all for you and that stuff, and then you can come and worship me next Sunday. I hate to see our kids learn how to, you know, we never even bought our daughters cars. We never bought them cars. They got cars. They got them. They learned how to believe God. People came and helped me get a car. But you know what? I used to tell them this all the time. You know, one day you need to learn to walk with faith, because one day Daddy ain't going to be on the earth no more. I'll leave. You need to know how to walk with faith. When I'm gone, you need. So I'm teaching you this because I'm not God. But God's going to be here just like when I leave, as much God here as it was before I left. It don't matter. And He'll do for you. And they learn. He would do for them. And they learn it over time. You know, people go to Rhema and have a hard time. When our daughter went to Rhema, she was taught faith. The one that 10 years old, God in the areas of healing, God said she prayed. Well, he prayed and she got healed. Then 20 minutes, she was healed. But she went to Rhema, and you know, people talk about going to Rhema and they have a difficult time. She went to Rhema, God blessed her so much at Rhema, she ended up, probably within 6 months, had bought a brand new car. God opened up a job for her, making a ton of money. And then all kind of stuff happened. Just everything in the world worked for her. She went to Rhema. She didn't suffer 2 seconds. Why? It was the same way Wanda and I learned, because we learned how to walk with faith before we got to Rhema. Made the difference. When I got there, a lot of the students didn't know how to walk with faith. They weren't trained or taught. They come out of families of even churches that talked about faith. But you know what? They never learned to develop themselves. Mm-hmm. So when Elena went, she learned how to walk by faith. And I'm going to tell you, she was just blessed. You know, she'd have to get a crowded apartment with somebody else. She had her own big apartment. And she had all of her stuff and things. And God just blessed her like crazy. Well, they'd be like, wow, he does something. No, we taught her the word and she learned how to use it.
Amen.
And it worked. See, we have a problem today in the faith world. We have a problem today in the faith world. And it's because we have come like the denominational churches. We made good lives, and you know what we did? We did what the Second World War people. You know, they suffered in war, and they came back. They don't want their children to ever suffer anything, so they gave them everything. Worst thing they ever did.
Amen.
And now we're sitting with generations that followed the same suit, giving everything to their kids, and not teaching the children how to get a hold of things. And now we got generations that don't know how to get a hold of nothing. They don't know how to get a hold of things. They weren't taught. They weren't taught the principles of working hard and doing things. And their parents had done that. That's how their parents survived through such a war. They didn't go off being like, they didn't go off whimping, whining little kids off to war. They didn't go that way. Every little discomfort bothered them. Every little thing. They didn't go off to war like that. That's why, if they would have had parents like that, they'd have never survived it. They would have never made it. Hardship ain't a bad thing. Everybody wants to hide from it today. Everybody wants comfort. I found this off, you know, just like this week. I had to help the Holy Ghost and be a comforter. I had to give myself up for my holiday. And you have to go do, and this is what you do. This is what you do. You don't, it's all about me. It's all, you know, this is today. This is what everybody is. They want the anointing of God. They want God in their life. What for? What for? Why? The power of God's to do stuff.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And it just is what it is. Oh, don't feel sorry for me. I'm glad I could do it.
Amen.
Don't feel sorry for me. Hey, it's a job God gave me. And so I tell you, I ain't going to knock the job He gave me. Hallelujah. Why? It's just this side of it, you know, sometimes it ain't fun. But, man, there's a reward coming for it.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's eternal.
That's right. Amen.
It's not a $1,000 check today. It's $1 billion later.
Amen.
In heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. You do what you do. And see, walking in this thing, living in this thing. But I'm going to just encourage you today, you keep it simple concerning your faith walk. Hallelujah. You don't need to have an emotion. You don't need to have a thing. You just need to believe the word and don't doubt.
Amen.
I tell you. And the Bible just told us we could do what Elijah did. That reference James would have never get if it meant he was something special. Why give the reference then? It's a terrible reference if we can't do it. It's a terrible reference. But the Bible used it. And it's there for us and it's written for you and me. And what it was, hey, you can believe God. You can pray the prayer of faith. You can do it. Hallelujah. Men added their things to it. And I'm not going to knock them. I think, by God, I preached it adding those things to them. So I just... Hallelujah. But the Holy Ghost was kind enough to correct me on it and told me to make sure that I taught that. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to teach that day because I want to just inspire your faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That your faith, your believing. Hallelujah. If you do what it says, that's as earnest as you need to be. Hallelujah. That's as fervent as you need to be, is believe in your heart and don't doubt. And say it, hallelujah. That's it. That puts the power of God to work for you. The power of God goes, that's what you need to do. It's that simple. Hallelujah. So, I just encourage you today, and we think, just keep thinking along that line. Hallelujah. When you pray, you're the righteous person.
Amen.
You're the righteous person. That's who you are. You're the righteous person. Hallelujah. You got into this kingdom by believing, praying the prayer of faith. You believed and didn't doubt. It ain't a different prayer. It's just for something different. But if that prayer would put the power of God to work to move you from spiritual death to spiritual life, the rest of it's pretty much a piece of cake.
Amen.
The greatest change you ever had is when you believed on the name of Jesus and you got born again.
Amen.
Greatest miracle I've had different miraculous things happen. The greatest thing that ever happened to me that to this day I can only ever think, when I got born again, how it changed my life. Oh, my God. There is nothing that I've ever had or believed for in between there that even comes close to. When I stop and I think, oh, my God. It's like what Wanda said, I'm living with a different man.
Praise God.
Yeah. A simple prayer of faith did that. She got a different husband. Hallelujah. She got a different husband. Hallelujah. Out of the deal. And, you know, I was as shocked as she was. And I really was. You know what? When I first got saved, I would stop all the time and think about, what is going on with me? I just had different ideas, things around me, and that stuff that happened that I just, like before, would drive me crazy, and it didn't. And I was just like, what is going on in me? What is happening? And then when I understood, I was a new creation. Hallelujah. I actually was. It's a real thing. Whoa! Hallelujah. Oh, Ed's dead. Glory to God! Some dying's real good. I should have shot him a long time ago. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're going to have communion this morning as we're heading in that area. I just want to read to you here as we're going to this.